you to the Wrestling with Life podcast.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to the Wrestling with Life podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is M. Led, and I appreciate you tuning in for an episode. Wrestling with Life is all about getting out of our heads together, baby. The people who listen to this podcast are super ambitious and just want to be the best versions of themselves. And if that sounds like you, stick around and join the Wrestling Squad. We have episodes every single Monday and Tuesday. Sometimes we have guests on, sometimes it's just me talking, but either way, we share some really incredible life lessons and vulnerable insights so that we can get out of our heads together, baby. Today's a really good topic if you are one of those ambitious people, because I think a lot of us can relate to having really high standards and goals for ourselves and being disappointed when the people around us in our life don't hold themselves to the same standards. And that has been the story of my freaking life. In the past, I have had so much frustration because I see potential in other people and I'm like, why are you not being all that you could be? And I just want the people that I love to grow and evolve and be the best that they can be. But a really hard truth that I have learned in my life is that you cannot fix or change other people. You can't. You can't force other people to be anything but what they already are. And that is such a tough pill to swallow, especially when you see people's potential, right? So we are going to talk today about why this is such a struggle, what it feels like when you kind of have this fixer mentality, why it's actually such a toxic thing and not a good way to live your life, how you can inspire people to change rather than trying to manipulate them or force them to change, some things that you should stop doing as a fixer, and some ways that you can just learn to be an inspirational friend, daughter, son, sister, brother, whatever relationship you have with the person that you always think, oh, I just wish they would do this. I just wish they would do that. Here's some inspo that you can, again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm inspiring you what to do. You can decide, pick and choose what you want to take from this episode and apply it to your own life and your own situation. So let's kick it off with a quote that I really feel like wraps up what I'm about to tell you. You can't change the people around you, but you can change the people around you. You're probably like, Emlyn, what did you just say? That literally makes no sense. You can't change how people are, like their personalities, the choices that they make, the way that they choose to live their lives. But you can change the people around you, as in you can change who's around you. You can change who you hang out with. And I think life is all about picking and choosing who we surround ourselves with. And I think it's really important to try to inspire people into change. But when you realize that that person is not becoming who you need them to be for whatever role they play in your life, then you need to leave. You need to exit the relationship, or you need to establish boundaries, or you need to create some space, or you need to have a more honest conversation about, hey, who you are, the role that you offer to me in my life at this time is not working. And we need to figure out a solution, or we need to go our separate ways. I think so often we stay in relationships because we hold out hope that people are going to magically become who we need them to be for us. But the truth is, y'all, that people don't change. People can improve for sure, but it always has to be out of their own free will and out of their own desire to become that. You know what I mean? Like, it is our individual responsibility as individuals to create any sort of change that we want in our lives. People really won't change unless it feels like their idea, unless it comes from within them, because otherwise it's going to feel like they're doing something to try to get someone off their back because someone's breathing down their neck and they feel like they have to appease someone. So it's not an intrinsic motivation where they want to change for themselves to be better, which is how you sustain long-term change and growth, right? If you change to appease somebody else, it's like a quick fix. It's like, okay, I'm going to make this change because I want my mom to stop nagging me, or I want my boyfriend or my girlfriend to stop nagging me. And then over time, you're going to slip back into your old patterns because that doesn't ultimately, in your eyes at least, make you feel better about yourself. That change, you're doing it for someone else. So people are only going to change when that change makes them feel better about who they are. And if they don't see anything wrong with the choices that they're making in their life, then why would they change it? You know what I mean? I think we're all very guilty of thinking that everybody sees life the same way that we do and that they want the same things that we do. Like for me, it's so hard for me to understand the concept that not everybody is ambitious and not everybody wants to live an amazing life. Like this podcast is specifically for ambitious people, which is only a very small corner of the world. I think that a very large percentage of the population gets really comfortable and they don't want to change, and they're happy to kind of go through the motions because it doesn't require getting uncomfortable and pushing themselves and changing. You know what I mean? So something that I've had to realize the really hard way, and something that I need you to really consider, is that not everybody is going to want the same things as you, and that's okay. And you can't force other people to want the same things that you want. It's amazing that you're ambitious and you have big dreams and goals. And the best way that you can inspire others to want that for themselves is by living your life that way, by you getting out there and grabbing life by the freaking balls every day, not harping on your best friend because they're not taking the same steps as you are, and they're not going about their job search in the same way you are, or they're not, you know, taking advantage of their free time on the weeknights the same way that you are. And it's so funny if you really stop and think about it, because I have spent so much time just being so angry and wishing that the people in my life would kind of change their priorities. Like, oh, if so-and-so would only start working out every day, or if so-and-so would just take control of their own life, like then all these amazing things could happen for them. But the truth is, like, I don't really know that, do I? I'm just speculating based off of my own life experiences. And maybe for that person to get the outcome that, you know, I want for them, or I think they want, maybe they have to go about it a different way than what worked for me. And so it's really important to remember that we all are our own individual people, and we all go about life different ways at our own paces, on our own timelines. And it can be really frustrating if you get caught up in thinking that other people have to do it the same way that you do. That's why every time I get on this mic, you guys, I try to say to you, pick and choose from what I'm about to tell you and apply it to your own life in the most relevant ways that make sense, that feel right to you. Because I know that everything that works for me might not work for you. And I'm not interested in telling you how to live your life or what to do. I say that on here a lot. I'm just sharing my own experiences and what worked for me in the hopes that it will inspire you to make change in your life. I have always been a fixer personality, and so I would get really fired up when I would see people that I love making what I thought to be really dumb choices for their life. And I'm still like this. Like, I still get really irritated and want to demand the best from people around me in my life. And I think you should. Like, I think when you really care about people and you think they're making dumb choices, I think you should step up. But you can't beat a dead horse. And that's kind of where I've gone wrong in the past, is I have stayed a lot longer in relationships where that person is not making the change that I think they need to make in order for me to be happy with them in my life. And what I didn't realize at the time is that I was trying to force how I believe they should live their life onto them, either on a timeline that wasn't the timeline that they had for themselves. Like, I was trying to get them to get somewhere faster than they were getting, or it just wasn't at all what they wanted for themselves and it wasn't their truth. And I was projecting my own reality and how I see things and what I want out of life onto them. And really what I have learned is that you just have to meet people where they're at. You have to love them where you're at. And the responsibility to quote unquote fix them or change them does not fall on you. It does not fall on you. Again, that has to be an intrinsically motivated change that comes from within that person in order for it to be a sustainable change. People won't change until it sounds like it's their idea and they truly believe in it and want it to happen. Okay, so something that I think will be fun to illustrate exactly what this feels like is by using kind of like a character example. So I'm going to make up a fake friend in your life. We'll call him Tim. And we're going to talk about Tim's role in your life, how you maybe want to fix Tim, the issues that you see in Tim's life that you want to fix. And we're going to talk about what happens when you try to fix those things and why it's going to end up poorly for both you and Tim. And what happens when you try to be an inspiration to Tim instead. Okay. So Tim's backstory, you guys have been friends since you were kids and you've now grown up into adulthood and you're both in your career, you're getting started and you're kind of settled in your career. You know, you kind of feel like you're in a more stable place than maybe Tim is. And Tim's still trying to figure things out. And Tim's going through a little bit of a crisis and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do. He's feeling a little bit lost and you see that reflected in his actions. So Tim has been calling you pretty often on weeknights after midnight and he's usually drunk and he's usually at a bar with people who might not be the best crowd. And he's calling you to come give him a ride. And this is an often occurrence. This is happening a lot more than it did in the past, if ever. And in Tim's day-to-day life, he's not making the best choices either. He's currently at a job that he's not super happy with, but he's not really doing anything to change the situation. So he's not applying for jobs. He's playing video games a lot. He's not really getting up off his butt. He's not getting other work experience or networking or doing anything to put him in a position to change careers. And then in Tim's love life, you see that he is kind of distracting himself from the career debacle by kind of relationship hopping and bringing home new girls all the time and going out on dates with people that you know probably aren't good for him, but he likes the attention and it makes him feel less alone. And all in all, Tim is just kind of in a phase of his life where things aren't going well. And as his best friend, you can see that the choices that he's making are ultimately at his own expense and his own destruction. And you don't want to see Tim do this to himself. And so you're a good friend, right? And you want to help Tim to change. You don't want him to stay stuck like this. So if you're a fixer, maybe you start giving Tim some unsolicited advice. And maybe every time he starts complaining about work, you're like, well, duh, of course you're not happy, Tim. Like, you've been miserable at this job forever and you haven't even done anything to change it. Maybe if you started actually applying for jobs and you started, you know, doing X, Y, and Z, you wouldn't be in this situation anymore. Here's what you need to do. Like, you need to take control of your own life. I literally sound like myself on this podcast. Oh my God. I promise you guys, when I rant at you that I'm just trying to inspire you, maybe I need to be more mindful of how I deliver it. But I guess if you guys are tuning into this podcast, I'm giving you solicited advice that you're looking for. So ha. But anyways, you start going into advice mode where you are telling Tim what he needs to change when Tim probably just came to you to vent. He didn't come to you to solve his problems. It's very different when people actually ask you for advice, right? But if you start giving unsolicited advice, you kind of take responsibility off of that person to solve their problem. And you kind of jump into the driver's seat of their life rather than encourage them to get into the driver's seat of their own life. You know what I mean? If you start telling them exactly what to do without them asking you, or if you start taking action for them, again, that takes their responsibility away. Maybe you start trying to manipulate Tim into change if you're a fixer. Maybe you start threatening him, like, if you don't get a higher paying job, I'm not gonna be your roommate anymore. Like, I'm gonna kick you out of the apartment. Or if you bring another girl back here, I'm not going to be your friend anymore. Or you start like putting conditions on his actions and threatening him. That is manipulative behavior. That's trying to threaten someone into change rather than inspire them. And there are probably, you know, more extreme situations where this response might be more appropriate. Again, this is kind of just like an example, very broad example. But anytime that you are manipulating someone to try to get them to do something that you want by threatening them or coercing them or doing something that's not out of purely good intention, that's something that you should really stop doing. And that's something that fixers do a lot. In addition to this, fixers are often nagging and begging and pleading. So maybe you are, you know, constantly on Tim, like riding Tim's butt about, you know, did you apply for more jobs yet? Like, have you applied? Did you tell that girl you're not going on that date with her anymore? And you're being very overbearing and controlling and kind of like breathing down Tim's neck about it. Any sort of like begging or pleading behavior like that, that's a characteristic of a fixer person. It doesn't end up making people feel excited to change. It makes people feel like, holy shit, I need to do this to get so-and-so off my back. Okay, so that's everything that you would do if you're a fixer. Now, if you are a inspiration and you're trying to inspire someone into change, it's going to look a little bit different. So instead of giving unsolicited advice to Tim when he didn't ask, you need to hold space for him and to understand him in conversation when he comes to you. So a lot of times when people are coming to you about their problems, it's because they want to feel heard and seen and validated. A lot of us just have big emotions that we want to get off our chest in relation to our problems. We don't really want other people to solve them for us. We know we're capable of making the change deep down if we are in a good place with ourselves. So keep that in mind that when people come to you with their problems, a really good question that you can ask them pretty straight off the rip is, do you just want me to listen or do you want advice? And you can say that before they even say anything so you know how to respond. And again, if they are asking you for advice, it's very different, but I think a lot of the time people just want to feel heard. So when Tim is coming to you to vent about his job or whatever girl he's dating or whatever he's not happy about, holding space for him in that conversation, validating what he's feeling, letting him know that his feelings make sense to you and that if you were in his position, you would feel the same way. It makes Tim feel human. It makes him feel normal for feeling lost. He doesn't feel nagged that way. He doesn't feel like you're trying to jump in and tell him what to do or to take control of his life. You're just simply offering a listening ear, a shoulder to cry on. And another thing that you can do is kind of ask questions. And you don't want to ask them in a way that necessarily like leads people to a certain answer. But say that Tim is kind of just like venting about his job so much, you can start asking questions like, you know, is there any part of you that would consider applying to another job? Have you looked at other jobs out there? What's holding you back from applying for this job? Why haven't you applied for that one? And again, it's your tone is really important. Like, you don't want to sound condescending. You don't want to sound accusational, but just kind of simply getting curious about Tim's situation, asking questions, taking interest. Sometimes that can help people find the answers that they're searching for that they don't know how to get to on their own. So asking questions about the issue that they're experiencing, the problem, that can really inspire people to change, because as they start reflecting out loud and talking through things with you, they're probably going to have revelations where they're like, that's a great point, Emled. Like, why haven't I applied for that job? Or why haven't I considered this thought? Like, rather than telling them, just ask them these things. And that tone or that, I guess, level of conversation or vibe of conversation can just feel so different for people because they're not being instructed or pushed to do anything. And they're simply being asked, what is it that you want? What is it that you feel? What is it that you desire for yourself? What is it that you see yourself doing? That can be really, really helpful. Another thing that you might do is you might just simply lead your life by example. You can share with Tim about how fulfilled you feel at your job and how you got there. And it doesn't have to be in like a look at me, look how amazing my life is kind of way. Simply by living the life that you're proud of and, you know, acting in a way that you're proud of, Tim is going to be taking notes. Anybody who is in a lost season of their life is likely looking to people who have it more figured out for inspiration on how to get out of their current situation. So just by you showing up every day and holding space for Tim in your conversations, living the life that you're proud of, and kind of taking the advice that you would give, like, it's really easy to give advice to people, but if you don't take it, your credibility is kind of shot. And it's like, why would you give that advice if you can't take it, that's definitely something that I've struggled in the past, is giving really good advice, but struggling to take it. But I've really worked on myself a lot to the point where I don't give out advice I know I can't take anymore. So, you know, living your life by your own example, living your life the way that you inspire others to, is really, really important. And that makes a huge difference as well. So this little Tim exercise, you can really apply this to any relationship in your life. Anytime that you are giving unsolicited advice and trying to manipulate people or solve their problems or nag them or expect people to think like you and want the same things as you, it's not going to lead to a good outcome most of the time. Now, there's definitely moments where you are going to need to give unsolicited advice to a friend who really needs to hear it. You know, there are times that I'm very thankful for friends in my life who say, "Emily, you're being an idiot. What are you doing?" And they give me a little come to Jesus moment. And I'm very, very thankful for that. But you have to be very calculated and cautious of when you use that approach, because it's not the best approach all the time. And you have to keep in mind that everybody's different. All of your people are different, and their needs, how they want to be spoken to and treated, is all going to be different. And it's important to tailor your tone and your delivery and your timing of the conversation and what you say to match up with them. So now is where we get to the part that's really difficult. And that's where we have to find the line, right? Because it's really important to inspire people to change around you, but there are going to be some people that you simply cannot inspire. And that no matter how you live your life, no matter how you hold space for them, no matter how many times you show up for them and you try to help them, they just can't make the changes that they need to make in order for you to be happy with them in your life. Let's talk about some symptoms of what that feels like, how you kind of know if you're getting to your tipping point. So if you're starting to feel really drained and really, really frustrated, and like your relationship is one-sided with somebody, this is a really good indicator that you are probably now in a fixer relationship or a one-sided friendship where that person is probably not going to make the changes that you need them to make. And this is really difficult, and it's really hard to pull your emotions away from that and be like, crap, because there's a pretty good chance that you adore the person that you've been investing in, that you guys have a really great relationship, that you have a lot of history, that you've lived a lot of life together. And it is not easy to close the door on that. And it's going to vary by situation, you know, how you should approach it and what you should do. But there's probably going to come a time where there are certain relationships that you need to let fizzle in your life, unless you want to continue being drained and frustrated and like you feel like you're beating your head off a brick wall. I have reached this point a lot. Like I mentioned earlier, I have been a fixer a lot. I've subconsciously attracted, I guess, relationships in which I kind of naturally step into that fixer role, and I try to bring up people around me because I see their potential. And it's a vicious cycle that I find myself in, just kind of like being the ambitious person that I am, and I do want to inspire others. But because of that, I've had to establish boundaries with that. And I've had to also recognize when I need to walk away from relationships that are no longer serving me for that exact reason. And like I said, it is really, really, really freaking hard. But when you recognize that you are feeling this way, that is when you need to reevaluate how you proceed. So I guess for me, like, this is again just my personal two cents. And like I always say on the pod, it's going to be different for everybody. For me, when I realize that the person that is in question is severely taking away from my peace and my mental health, that they're not treating me the way that I deserve to be treated, that things feel one-sided, that my cup no longer feels like it's overflowing after I spend time with them, I then really question why I have that relationship in my life. And this is when I start to pull away. And I really pride myself in being a good communicator. And again, you're going to have to handle it however makes sense for you in your situation. But I always try to communicate with people how I'm feeling. So I actually had a friendship that I had to end last summer. And I won't go into the details of it because I never want someone to listen to this and be like, yeah, that's about me. And I don't know who listens to this and who doesn't. So I'm going to keep the details of this one private. But I had to end a friendship last summer because the person who I was friends with did not make my cup feel full. And I felt like I was going into fix mode with them a lot. And they never even asked me to. It was just the role that I assumed with them. But I knew that by staying friends with them, I was going to continue being frustrated by their behavior. They were not living their life in a way that made sense to me. And so I just found myself frustrated a lot and wanting to change them. But they didn't see anything wrong with the way they were living their life, and they didn't want to change, and they were very comfortable with who they were. And I really didn't understand them. I really didn't understand what motivated their behavior, and I probably never will, right? Because we only see life through our own very limited lens. But the moral of the story was, I knew I couldn't stay friends with this person the way that we were, and I knew we needed some space. And so I simply communicated this with this person. I reached out and I said, hey, I really appreciated the time that we've shared together, but I am reaching a point in our friendship where I feel drained a lot, and I don't feel like you bring to this friendship the things that I bring, and I'm looking to grow and I'm looking to evolve. So that means that my time, which is also my most precious resource, needs to be given back to me and taken away from you. And I need some space for a bit to continue assessing how I feel about our friendship and see if this is something that I can continue or not. And that might sound brutal, it might sound harsh, but it was the truth. And I knew that regardless of how this person responded, I knew that I handled the situation the best that I could, as honestly as I could, and as directly as I could without being brutal. And this person actually responded really well. They took it really well. They were understanding. They were respectful of my boundary. They definitely pushed back a little bit and didn't want the friendship to be over, and definitely reached out later again and tried to rehash it. But ultimately, I decided that, you know, that decision was a good one, and I stuck with it, and I never reopened that friendship. And I'm really glad I made that choice, because I knew that that wasn't going to be a long-term friend in my life anyway. And I knew that there were other people in my life that brought a lot more to the table and made me feel a lot better about myself and gave me the kind of things that I was looking for out of my friendships. And those were the people that I wanted to dedicate my time and energy to, right? It's difficult, y'all. It's hard. It's really hard to have these kind of conversations. I'm not underestimating how uncomfortable this can be. It's not easy. It's a skill that you learn over time, and that, you know, you can only learn really by practicing with one person at a time. But what it really comes down to is that the people that you surround yourself with are who you will become. And the more life that I live, the more experience that I get, I'm just realizing how important it is to protect my time, space, and energy, and how I really don't have time for people who do not add to my life anymore. The whole fixer thing, I kind of think, comes from a weird place of wanting to control. And that's something that I've struggled a lot in my life with, is control. And in the end, controlling other people does not feel good. I want to empower the people in my life to make good decisions and to make the best possible choices for their life. But I don't want to force them into doing that. I don't want to control them into doing that. I want them to do that on their own volition. There's probably a lot more that I could say on this, and a lot deeper of the weeds that we could get into. But really, guys, I just hope you know that people don't change. People really don't change. And if they do, it's because they want to. So if you have someone in your life who you are constantly trying to fix, or you are constantly trying to get them to live their life in a way that will make you happy, and they won't, it's because they never will. Until they make that decision on their own, which it's a pretty high percentage they won't do, because they're going to see life differently than you, and people are who they are. But until they make that decision on their own, change will not happen. I have watched myself lose years of my life waiting on people to get their shit together, and they don't. And it's because I was probably forcing a timeline on them that they weren't ready for. But the moral of the story is that that change was never going to come about by me pushing them harder, by me nagging them more, by me signing them up for therapy, by me forcing my beliefs onto them. Instead, I fixed the fixer in myself by no longer fixing. And I've really allowed people to be who they are. And when people aren't the type of people that I want to be around, that's when I get up and I walk away. And it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be disappointed and hurt and angry when people aren't who you thought they were, who you thought they could be. But also recognize your role in that. And that a lot of times we put expectations on people that they can't meet because they simply are who they are. I hope that this inspired you to stop trying to fix people, to stop trying to be the fixer, because you can't. You can't force people to be anything that they're not. If you enjoyed this episode of Wrestling with Life, please leave me a 5-star review wherever you listen. The more reviews we get, the more the podcast will grow, the more viewership we'll get, the more people we can get on the wrestling squad, the more guests we can get. And that means the more time I can dedicate to this podcast to bring you guys really vulnerable, honest conversations that help you to get out of your head and grab life by the freaking balls. Thanks, wrestling fam. I appreciate you guys. Have a fantastic week. Over and out. Bye-bye.